Three, two, one. You're live.
All right. Welcome, everybody. Live? All right. Welcome, everybody, to the Let's Talk About It show. I'm Black Ops.
This is Wanda.
Yep, y'all got to join in.
And coming to you from the honeycomb hideout is James Geronimo.
I'm about to say.
The six man is here, boys.
Hey, listen, we got an exciting show today. All right, your video intro, we still hear you. Listen, it's good to hear from everybody and to see everybody. And, you know, we got an exciting show and a lot to cover today. And we're going to get this thing started. So, you know, we always have our own little segments here, as they say. And I have my little keep it real moment that I got to get into. But before I do that, you know, I always got to make my way around the panel. So first off, hi, Miss E. How you doing?
Hi, how are you?
I'm good.
I'm hanging in.
I'm all
right. Yeah.
Are you on a time delay?
I'm okay. I'm good.
All right.
It's
all right. Now we sent the production crew to your house to get you set up. What's going on?
I'm good. What's going on with you? I do Zoom meetings all day. What's up? Can you hear me?
Not much. Just trying to get through this. Like everybody.
Yeah, I can.
You're delayed. We got you.
Okay. I'm good.
All right. All right.
Yeah.
What's good, Wanda?
I'm just here, man. I'm just here working, still working. You know, my job from time to time, it becomes essential. So, you know, sometimes I have to go into the office. And just trying to keep it normal, man. Just, you know, been trying to seize the moment and take care of myself and create hobbies and, you know, just stay busy. That's it. I'm here, brother.
Right. Well, I thought I was going to be able to go on, but I got 2-digit on my thing so I could tag everybody. But anyway, it's good to see you. And yeah, like I had to go on today too to my job. As you know, I teach. As well, right. And I had to. I teach, but I had to go in as well. And I just had to clean out my office. It was kind of surreal to walk around and see all the lockers open, and no students in there. I saw papers on the ground, and I was like, man, this is it. It didn't seem real. Mm-hmm. And to sit in my office with it to be like super quiet and dark, but I'm used to kids popping in and, you know, sharing their day with me and grading papers and all, you know, everything that comes with teaching. It was just like, I don't know, it was somewhat of a somber moment, you know. And one of my students had shot me a quick text and was like, hey, just wanted to say hello, you know, I'm doing all right out here. And it was timely, you know. They say at times the universe speaks out, and I was like, man. And you know, everyone had their mask on when I came. You had to come in at a certain time, you know, you had a window, you had to be out by a certain time, you had to tell them I'm leaving. Had to pack up. Listen, this is what I did. Listen, don't nobody sell me out. Snitches get stitches, right? This is what I did. They put hand sanitizer on our desk. That's with me now at the house. I had to get that. So, and the
all
get them forward now.
Listen, you're going home with me. No one's going to be here.
Okay.
Yeah.
Took a white
hey, Black Ops. In Black Ops, are they taking your are they taking your temperature before they let you in the building?
No, but they were on a very strict schedule. Like there was no human interaction, any contact like that. So you had to go right to your classroom. You had to do exactly what they said. They put out. In fact, you had to make sure that you met all the precursors before you could even come in. So you displayed a fever or anything remotely or had contact with someone, you couldn't enter the school. So they had vetted the process. So, and trust me, I didn't want to see it. I love everybody, don't get me wrong. But these are trying times, and you know, a simple handshake could really kill you. So
yeah.
I just kept it moving, but it was just surreal to sit in.
Yeah.
But as always, good to see you. As you can see, I saved the band. I gave the look for a little bit. My science experiment. I think most people enjoyed it, but it's hell to maintain. So I was like,
just let it grow. So I shaved. Just let it grow, so, man.
And I go to Barry White. It'll go all the way down here and all the way up here like that. And so, but I was like, let me get rid of that. I was like, get bored, you know. Exactly. If I had hair, I probably would have put braids in. It's like, yo, let me see. You know, I'm far in West Indies anyway. So I was like, let me put the, but that's not going to happen. So, but anyway, B. Geronimo, what's good, man?
My man, hanging on like an old loose tooth, man, bouncing between work and the honeycomb hideout. You know, they got us testing and all of that other stuff. So we'll see how that goes. You fail the test, take it home. But so far, I guess I'm still passing because I'm still.
Yeah, and I know.
You know, but.
Yeah, and I get, you know, I got a relative or two who might be paying visits where you work. And let's just say that inside those systems, man, I know that this outbreak can be a challenge in there, and I just hope that they're taking care of people in there like they should.
Right.
Trying, man. Trying. It's a job.
Yeah.
And it's a complicated one at this point with all the stuff that's going on, you know, so.
Yeah. So, you know, as always, I mean, human rights and making sure things are right, we understand the reasons behind them being there, but you also have to understand that they're human beings at the end of the day, and they should be afforded, you know, those rights. So that's all I say. As long as they're being treated justly, you know, so babe, this is our platform, so this is what we use it for. So I'll use my voice to say, hey, make sure everyone, all walks of society get treated as they should. Now, is that the case? I think it can be debated. However, I'm still going to bring it up. Right? It's my
turn. Wrong with it.
All right. Listen. Yeah, and as always, Dean Geronimo, thank you for your input. But listen, let's move on with the show a little bit. This is my keep it real moment. Like, there's a lot of stuff that we can talk about here, but I'm going to go to something that I've been enjoying since I've been in the house, right? It is TikTok, right? TikTok.
Oh, okay.
Are you familiar with it?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah, I've seen the video.
Listen, I find myself cracking up off some of the skits off TikTok. I do. I think it's the best thing since sliced bread. Like, literally, and some of them get created. Like, I love the Denzel Washington one that people apply all the time, right? When he was like, King Kong ain't got nothing on me, right? But then I applied to, like, I saw this one older lady who had taken some orange juice out the refrigerator, right? And it was just the bottom. We've all been there. You know, just the bottom of the orange juice. And she went in there. She was like, oh, you motherfuckers, yo. And I was dying, yo. I was dying. My kids are always like, Dad, you over there on that TikTok again, ain't you? I said, I sure am. And it's always it's a debate. It's like, are you too old for TikTok? And then there's like all these things that come up. It's like, I'm not too old. Listen, it is comical. I've seen some of my students come through TikTok. I was like, oh my God, yo, look at that. On top of that, some of my martial arts buddies have come up on there. Who else? I mean, just different people. I don't know how the algorithm goes, but I'm like, oh my God, look at that. And it's comical. It is comical. Some of them are out there though. Some of them are out there. The Don't Rush challenge, they done applied that to everything. But
yes,
some of the, huh?
That's a yes, they have.
Yeah, but I love that. Just to keep it real, like, I love TikTok. That's why Let's Keep It Real moment for Black Ops. TikTok is all right. It's all right. I'll watch that. I'll be cracking up. I'm just trying to figure out the skit that I got to do for me, right? So some of those people, about like one of my old students, they had like 25,000 views. I was like, oh, wow. You know, so there's always money in that. Yeah, exactly. That's what I said.
Yeah.
I
was like, oh my God. Yeah.
You know, and people I used to work with in the military, I was like, oh my goodness. Oh, look at that. I was like, oh my God. So small world. So I post martial arts stuff up there when I do come on. So that is my contribution to TikTok for now. So I can find something funny to do.
Okay.
They got the Millie Rock with it. I want to do the Millie Rock with it. I love that. So I'm talking about doing one with me. It's fire. So anyway, that's what I have here. What we got, Wonder? You up next. What's up?
What do I have?
Miles was all joking. Well, he's gonna come with some deep insight.
I mean, you know, I'm just amazed by the protest of you know, a lot of people who are Trump supporters who demand that their cities and states open back up for business. And you know, it's very telling how, you know, people are more concerned about a dollar rather than their health. And, you know, when you really look at the bigger picture, what good is money when you're laying on a gurney, struggling for air? And one of the last protests that they had, I forget what, it was somewhere down south. And a few days later, there were 71 confirmed COVID cases from those people. I wish there was some. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Missy.
It was in Texas, I think. It was in Texas.
Yeah. And you know what?
Right.
I don't know if there's a way to monitor it, but there should. I wish there was something where it, you know, where they could say, you know, you have to sign this agreement that when you protest, not practicing social distancing, not putting a cover over your face, that you have to sign some kind of petition that you will be last to be serviced when you get sick. But it's incredible, man.
There will be no service.
Right. How about that? So, but
that service.
Yeah, man. I mean, listen, you know, because, and here's the scary part.
Wrap it up, dude.
Yeah, here's the scary part. Those 71 people that were tested for COVID-19, how many people did they touch before they found out? How many people did they come in contact before they found out that they had it? And this is why we can't, you know, bring this. I mean, it's coming down in certain places, but then in other places, it's popping up because people are not, you know, obeying the sheltered in. So, you know.
Right.
I'm baffled, but I'm not surprised, but I'm still just, it's one thing to protest, but have respect for the social distancing, put something over your face, but to just go to prove a point and then you turn around and get sick.
Yeah.
So, you know.
Listen,
so that's my rant.
Yeah, listen, no, that's not a rant. That's very applicable to today, but mm-hmm. I was actually at, a store, and you know, they do the 6 feet apart and so forth, so on. And we were actually outside waiting to go in. I was with my family, right. And the one gentleman was behind me 6 feet, and he didn't have a mask. And the guy in front of me said, "Hey, where's your mask? You know, hey, where's your mask, buddy?" Right? And they say, "With age comes wisdom," and Wonder, you know me, right? You know me, know me. And so the younger me so bad wanted to turn around like, "Dude, yo, you right on me." Mm. Right? The older, wiser me said, "Sean, let the dude in front of you take the argument with the guy behind you." Right? Because no one else looked like me. Mm-hmm. And the moment that I react, now I'm on the news and y'all doing the story like, "Damn, Sean was all right. We gonna listen." Right? Yeah. Right?
No matter how, we'll put that GoFundMe up for you, dog.
Right. No matter how it pans out, I'm going to be wrong, right? And I'm going to defend mine, as I always say. And And I just remember saying to myself, like, "Yo, I'm so glad that this is happening now as I'm older versus when I was younger." Because I would have turned around and told dude, like, "Just keep it real raw. Get the fuck away from me, man." You know, but with age comes wisdom. So I sat there, I had my mask on. Yeah. You know, we went in, got my stuff, I got in the car, I decompressed, I sprayed my little Lysol, and I said, "Sean, I'm so proud of you, you're growing up, look at you." If I was, I was sitting there and kissed me on the cheek and said, "You're my guy," right? Yeah. So, but it's scary. And it's funny. It was funny watching him back and forth. I was like, yo, I was like, I'm glad he said something. Like, you know, it's scary times out there. It really is. So, you know, what can we, as I say, what can we say? Oh, be safe with that. And yeah. I got my new man. Hold on, let me grab it. If I blacked out, we'll put it on forever. Shout out to my people, Dow Boy, and look at me turning all dark. Now, I ain't been in the sun that long, okay? Dow Boy from Detroit, Michigan. We go back decades. And he hit me up with the fire mask, and I was like, I gotta have that. Gotta have it. So I posted it on Facebook, but let me put this up real quick.
You know, oh, okay.
Check this out. Okay. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh yeah, and yeah, I like it. Yeah.
Everybody versus COVID-19.
Exactly.
I like and it. He is I actually, like it a lot. Yeah.
It has a trademark on it. I don't know if you can see it, but he is a part of the original before it was like everybody versus this, everybody versus that, straight out of this, straight out of that. He's actually linked to the originators of that movement.
Okay.
So he's from Detroit, actors in LA. He moves. Yeah, he's definitely moved up in those influencer circles. And but he hooked me up. He sent it right to me. He's like, yo, I got you. And so I posted it on Facebook. Everyone was like, oh, that's it. And then he posted where people could get it from. But my point to it, everybody versus COVID-19, this is going to lend to you a little bit, Wonder, is this, right? No matter what your socioeconomic class, skin color, creed, race, you pick it. If you're from China, if you're from the United States, if you're from Africa, if you're from the Philippines, COVID-19 does not care. So it's everybody versus that. Right. We all have to do our part. It's not about a political position. It's about human lives. And you right. cannot put a man-made system currency against an innate God figure. And what I mean by that is the great creator God and him putting man here. Like, man is here. We're here on this domain, but money is a concept made up by man. There is no comparison. So I don't right. think one life should be lost to currency, period. Right. That's my thought. And I'm an independent, so before we get all the call like, oh, he's just left or right, blah. No, I'm a dead center independent, period, for the record. So, all right, anyway, that's my rant. That versus right. everybody. Woo, woo. All right, so we got that covered. Dean Geronimo, what you got, man?
You know what? I don't have a lot, man, but you know I got to give my shout out. So at midnight, if y'all can hang, the Fast Auntie Lounge will be on IG Live, Knife Wonder Spinning. I don't know what time you're going to finish, probably 3-4 o'clock in the morning, but we'll be there. You know what I mean? So just make sure you stop in, check in, and hang out for a little while.
That's wait a minute. Good. Wait a minute. The Knife Wonder?
Ninth Wonder, the Fast Auntie Lounge is open, bro.
Okay. Ninth Wonder. I don't yes, think
they've been doing it for the last four weeks. Yeah.
Okay.
And I would have put on my Fast Auntie Lounge t-shirt, but somebody's watching me to my right. I'm supposed to be in a meeting, right? But this is more important. So they can see me on the side, but y'all can see me up front.
Yeah. All right.
Okay.
All right. Well, we'll take that. Listen, you close out the show strong, bro.
What do you say?
You'll close out the show strong, bro. I'm just messing with you. I got to take them where I can get them.
You know what? I got you, dog.
Right. But here's my thing. And there's been a lot of online entertainment and folks just flat out like, from the CEO Storm Norm, he throws up his watch parties and he puts that music on. Same thing with Glenn Gray from Plainfield. I mean, it goes on and on and on. Of course, we know DJs from all over the country, but I'm just talking about some local folks who really do the things. And I find myself, especially when house sets come on, you can't tell me I'm not at the Zanzibar 1988. Only thing I need are my boots and my baggy pants and my wooden beads. Yo, I'm good. I'm like, let's go, right? We know how that went. Those were the days, so. I do appreciate, you know, them all. And speaking of music, why it's on my mind, let's take a second to reflect on Little Richard, who we lost, who was a pioneer in rock and roll. And we all
know the architect. He was the architect.
The architect. Right. That's right.
Right. Mm-hmm. And what I do appreciate is that he got his just due. No one tried to sell him short. In fact, they actually said a lot of his music was copied by mainstream. Right. As he made his way. And he was definitely a different character. You know, we all got one of those cousins, uncles, there's just, they march to the beat of their own drum, but he was effective with what he did. And his mark on rock and roll and history cannot be denied. So when you paint our history, again, there's not a circle really we can't touch, but you have to remember going back to the origins of rock and roll, he was that guy. You know, I know we have Morse, but you got to give him his just due. The same thing for your first Black astronaut. I mean, it goes on and on.
Right,
but
right.
My point is, his music will live on forever. So I wanted to give him his just due with that.
Yeah, I definitely agree. I think when you look at even like current artists, you know, like you couldn't look at Prince and not see Little Richard. You know, in some ways. You couldn't even really look at Michael Jackson and not see Little Richard. You know, like you see him in really a lot of things and in everything, even some white artists, you know, like a David Bowie. Like you couldn't look at him and not see where he was influenced by Little Richard. I think everybody was. So yeah, rest in peace to him. I mean, he lived a long life. And he made sure that you weren't going to forget him. You know, like he defined his own legacy while he was still alive. Like Wonder said, he told you, I am the architect of rock and roll. You know, you see these people, you know, you giving props to people. Look at them and look at me. And come on now, you don't even have to connect the dots. The line is straight. You know, this is a straight line right here. So, he definitely was a pioneer. I think his longevity as well, you know, because there are kids that knew like who Little Richard was. So you really, you know, rest in power to Little Richard, and his legacy will definitely live on.
You know, I wonder.
Go ahead, Wonder.
Now, I wonder sometimes when I watch the Five Heartbeats, there's a scene in there where they go to the first. They go to the first record company, record label, and the guy's like, yeah, I love it. He's like, but I got the perfect group for this. And he says, bring in the Five Horsemen. Oh, and then they start singing, ain't got nobody, Jack. And the reason why I say that is because Pat Boone took Little Rich's Wop Bob a Lop and made tons of money from that man's record.
Right.
And, and I wonder if Robert Townsend, and that just didn't happen to Little Richard. That happened to a lot. But I wonder,
a lot of people, yeah.
But his was more pronounced. It was more out there, like Pat Boone. And it was a milquetoast dry version. but he made a lot of money because, see, the dominant society, they liked the song, but they liked who performed it better because they could, I guess, be a nice here, they could relate and identify with who was performing it. But I wonder if Robert Townsend ever used that as a template for that scene.
I think also it was easier to market, you know, to market this, you know, this white guy, Pat Boone to kids and mostly really to their parents.
He wasn't scary.
You know, he wasn't frightening. He wasn't, so that's why they would use somebody like, you know, a Pat Boone. But it's almost comical that, you know, you even try to think this is the same thing. And I think, you know, a lot of people were like, even the white kids were like, this ain't the same. You know, they still listen to Little Richard in their rooms with the music down low, with the records down low or the radio down low. It really wasn't fooling anybody, you know.
Right. So Wonder, your mic is muted. So just in case you didn't
Yeah, here, now I muted it because I thought I heard some background noise. I didn't know if it was from me or not.
Gotcha.
Sorry.
Listen, here, to put it into context, to put Little Richard into context, I'm going to walk you through this, right? One of the greatest rock and roll bands of all time was the Beatles, right? The Beatles, right? Under each, still to this time, it's undeniable. Still to this time, like, they went on the all kinds of records, the soul. I mean, you can go on and on and on. To put it in context, how big Little Richard actually was, they were the opening act for him.
Right.
When rock and roll just started. So what does that tell you?
Right.
Oh, well, listen, not only that, but James Brown was in his group for a short second, and so was Jimi Hendrix.
Okay.
Yeah, he is the architect. Like, let's not get it messed up. Like, right. he was right and exact in what he was saying. Like, he was the dude, man. He was that right. dude. He was a little eccentric.
Yeah.
But a little bit.
Yeah, he was that uncle. You'd be like, oh God.
Yeah.
There he comes.
No, but But you know what? I think he was a performer. You know, like he was a performer. He probably wasn't like that, like in his private right. life all right. the time. But he understood that you need a persona, you know, and that's what he did. You know, that's what he gave, and he gave a good show. And I say more power to him. And again, to last so long and to still be like relevant, you know, he defined himself. He defined his legacy. And you, hats off to that, man, because how many Black artists are right. we know about, but nobody else knows about, you know? Right. For every right. Little Richard, there's a Bobby Womack that people didn't know about, you know? So I say hats mm-hmm. off to him, man.
Absolutely.
Yeah, no, he did his thing. He did exactly. his thing.
So Wonder got me here sitting thinking about scenes now. All right, now I'm saying this is a Little Richard, right? Uh-huh. But let's go back to Coming to America, right? Sexual yeah. Chocolate.
Right.
I'm just like, because he sure enough, because Eddie Murphy played that part like that. I was like,
yeah,
man.
Yeah.
Every time I see that to this day, I still crack up.
Yeah, you do kind of, there is a little bit of Little Richard-esque in that character, just a little
bit. Right, right. That's why. But all right, so I'm gonna leave that alone. But hey, and on a serious note, though, like we're all saying, he was a trailblazer. So I wanted to give him his just due. There's no way that I didn't do that. So with that said, you know, this is, as I say, a mechanical transition. Next would be Andre Harrell. So let's flash forward.
Oh yeah! Wow, that was a shock.
Yeah, because he was young.
Yeah, that was a shock.
59. Yeah. Only 59 years old. That's young.
Yeah, that's young.
And he didn't look worn out.
What was the cause of death?
I don't know.
They didn't say.
They didn't say,
yeah,
right?
They didn't say. Yeah. You're right. They didn't say.
And we also lost right. Betty Wright, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Betty Wright.
But the Tiger, you know what?
The Tiger dude, he was him, too.
What is it, Roy?
Yeah, I heard about that, but they've been listening. They've been clowning the Tiger dude, man.
Oh, I didn't know that guy died. The Tiger guy?
Not the Tiger King, but the guy.
No, I know. I know what you're talking about.
Oh, okay.
What was it? Siegfried and Roy? Was that Siegfried
right,
and
yeah.
Roy? Yeah.
Yep, him too.
Oh, wow.
It was like they all died like within a span of like a couple of days.
Oh, I didn't even know that the Tiger guy died. I didn't know that. Mm-mm. Wow.
Yeah,
but Andre Harrell, like... Yeah. I mean, come on, man. Who didn't go through the 90s with all those hits? Mary J. Blige?
Yeah.
You know? Oh, my God. Even Puff Daddy, when he first started out, he was an intern at his record company. I remember, like, watching that on something. And just all those acts, you know? Like, that he defined the 90s, especially 90s R&B.
Well, with his
six glasses. Right. And we talk about a signature. His glasses were his signature. I remember looking like, especially like back in the day when you had Gazelles and all that, he was still rocking those same glasses.
Remember, he was a part of that rap duo, Dr. Jekyll.
Jekyll and Hyde.
And Mr. Hyde. Yeah.
He was in Crush Groove as Jekyll and Hyde.
Now, Danger Island, you're going to watch Wonder and Miss E smile, but he was a 92 KTU favorite.
Hey, Paco. Paco for 92 KTU.
That's taking it back. A lot of people want to jump on Hot 97, but 92 KTU was it. You had that in Hot.
That was the station.
I only remember Paco. I only remember Paco from 92 KTU.
Paco. I remember Joe Causey. It was some other DJs.
And what was the movie Breaking? And they were one of the stations that was making the announcement, come on down for but they just did, remember they did the open cast call. And if you was good enough, remember Slim Goody from Plainfield went down there to try out. You know, there was a lot of breakers in Plainfield, but I was like, man, and that came through 92 KTU.
Wow. Okay.
But you know, to get back to Andre Harrell, again, that's a talent loss. And you know, time waits for no man. Each of our day approaches, but he definitely had it. And he has I always say this, right? You could die as that dude, like if you want that street rap, or you could die with a legacy. He has a legacy. And I'll take a legacy all day. I don't care about a street rap at 50 plus. I care about a legacy. And he definitely legacy on an art form that is claimed by our culture. And it's undeniable. It's undeniable.
You know who else he was involved with, which is my favorite 90s group, was Jodeci. Oh my God. Jodeci is like, to this day, that is my favorite 90s group. Like, Diamond
I got two kids created off of Jodeci.
And nothing is better than that. So yeah, he like I said, that was the soundtrack of our of the 90s. He produced the soundtrack of the 90s. You know,
come and talk to me.
Jodeci, that was it. That was the jam, man. Oh man.
Listen, every now and then, when I'm in the bathroom, I'm in the morning, like I'm shaving my head, trimming my mustache. I throw on Jodeci. You can't tell me. I'm like either Casey or Jojo, one of them. You can't tell me I can't sing. You can't tell me. I'm in there blowing that song out. Listen, there were a lot of kids created across the planet behind Jodeci.
Yeah, Jodeci was that's just my group right there.
Yeah. So, man, but again, it gives you a sign of the times. Again, as time moves on for us all, it's incredible to watch some of our, you know, our heroes, if you will, actually pass away today. So, all right. Well, anyway, we're going to move on. We're gonna liven it up. We're going to talk a little bit. Let's jump back into COVID just a little bit. And let's talk about Wisconsin, in that area of Milwaukee, actually the state, the Supreme Court of that state overriding the governor and opening up the state of Wisconsin.
You know what? I look at it like this. Just because they open up doesn't mean we have to go.
That's right.
Right. Everybody has a choice. Just like they didn't have to, you know, you're sheltered in, you know, it's really just, so I feel like this, you know, your freedom, you can't infringe upon my, you know, rights for your freedom. Like, it doesn't work like that. You know, if we're all trying to like stay in and shelter in for the betterment of everybody, for the health of everybody, what is the problem? You know, like, I don't understand that. I don't get that. Like, that's not freedom. You know, you don't get to make those decisions because it affects other people. You know,
that's what's driving them to say, you can't tell me to stay in my house. Well, you're correct in part, because now imagine if it wasn't COVID-19 and it was bullets flying outside. Are you going to run outside? And
Right.
Where they're not hitting you, you know? And some people don't have that, they have that sense of self to a point where it's only about them.
Right.
So, you know, it's like, you know what? And those are the people I think Wonder was speaking of, like when you get sick, look, when you get to the hospital, it's like, where were you yesterday? I was at the beach. Go back to the beach. You know, drink some of that water and see what happens to you. You know what I mean?
Yeah, would you say add some bleach to it? Maybe some Lysol?
Put some bleach. Do what your boy told you. Drink the bleach, dog. Just drink the bleach. Be all right. You know what I mean?
All right. Oh, my God. Listen, Facebook is savage, too. I've seen some savage memes behind that.
That was hilarious. I mean, it's funny, but it's not funny.
Lysol vape joint. Yeah, all that.
It's crazy.
But I just... Go ahead, Missy.
No, I was just saying it's crazy. So what is it that they're saying that the governor didn't have the right to shut the state down? Is that what they're saying?
It infringed in their constitution that it infringed on their individual freedoms. But again, the governor wasn't executing that off of martial law.
Right.
He wasn't doing it from a position of, say, a dictator. He was doing that based on science.
Right.
And on what the CDC has put out.
Correct.
And actually, not to go down that hole, but the Republicans in that state actually fought to get everything opened up from the standpoint of let people make their own decisions if they want to go out or not, and don't hold them in based off of a decision made at the governor's level. And so what I don't understand, or what I fail to reason with, is that it is not a position of politics. It is a position of science.
Right, and also the safety of the public. Like, as a governor, it's your responsibility to make sure that the citizens of that state are safe. Nobody, right. If you want to go out, nobody's saying that you can't go out. You just can't be around a crowd of people. Wear a mask. You're not under house arrest. You know,
right.
You can still go out. What is the problem? You know, I just don't get it. Like, There was a man in, I don't know what state it was in. He was a barber and he was cutting people's hair in the barber shop. But they, you know, they cited him for that. You know, like this is a health emergency.
I did see that. You're right.
Who would go and get the barber? Who would do that? What fool would sit in that chair and hit their
hair, right?
Yeah, I mean, really? Just for the sake of your freedom? You're going to be sick. You also have the freedom, like Wonder said, you have the freedom to die without anybody helping you.
Correct.
Yeah.
Special die by yourself.
It to your house.
Right.
And these idiots are trying to liken it to slavery.
It's not.
Yeah,
they're trying to liken this to slavery because they have to stay in the house for a few months. But to your point, Miss E, when this onset first came about, there was a brother who was taking house calls as a barber. And it was an article I read, and he got COVID-19 and he died.
Yeah,
and they said he took precaution as best he could. He covered himself and whatever.
Yep.
This thing is real. And
right.
Mm-hmm.
I remember seeing that article too. Yep, he was taking people in his home and he caught it and he died. Like, is it really worth it for, you know, listen, I know it's tight. It's tight for, you know, it's tight for everybody. Even if you still have a job, I still have a job, but listen, you know, no one is really coming in like because of the way the state of New Jersey is. It's different in other states. Each state is different. And that's the problem. it should have been the same for everybody. That way we could have did it quickly, gotten it done and over with, without just rolling. Okay, first is New York, New Jersey. Of course it's going to be New York because there's so many people in New York. But then it just traveled slowly, slowly. We should have shut everything down immediately and then everybody just do it all at the same time. Maybe the pain wouldn't be so prolonged, you know?
Listen, that second wave hit, and that scientist who did the whistleblower complaint, he actually was deposed today, and he said, listen, it's going to be one of the darkest winters in history. Like, that guy isn't playing. And you saw Fauci push back on Rand Paul. He was like, I don't know what you're talking about, but I'm talking from a scientific standpoint, and it's going to be bad. When that second wave hit, it's going to be serious. And again, all I have to do is go back to 1918, take a look at the Spanish flu, and see how many people died in San Francisco off that second wave. And it was more savage and vicious off the second wave. And they went out there prematurely. So after the first wave, to say, hey, you know, victory. And right after that, millions died. So once folks start dying off the second wave and those numbers, because you're already approaching 100,000 lives lost. You're approaching the Vietnam numbers of those killed in action. And you're talking, listen, this is just over a span of a few months.
Like, not even like a few months. It's like 2 months, you know? It's like 2 months that this thing has really been like, you know, it's not, I'm going to say a little bit more than 2 months, but yeah, this is crazy.
And then they're going to run for the hills on this second version. It is really, and as the gentleman suggested, he said, we're really going to lock down and the economy's really going to tank because you guys didn't listen the first time. And you could see the trend, the curve flattening. You can see it flattening. So why would you entertain that? Go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, I was just saying they can't wait. They're impatient. And that you can tell the individuals who growing up were never on punishment. Really sick, you know, never had to recover from surgery, never been locked down. They just running free, you know what I mean? So they never been in a position where you had to sit still just for a moment. Had the dude at 1600, I don't say his name, but had he listened to his predecessor, we wouldn't be here right now. But he was so hell-bent on doing his own thing, and he is the leader of the same individuals who are hell-bent on doing their own thing. And until they start dropping like flies, it won't become real to them. You know, hey, so listen,
when it got up in 1600, they were like, oh, no.
Yeah, you know they what? Got
yeah, and you see. Like,
and the other piece to it is there were countries that reached out to him long before and said, listen, we've been following this COVID-19 virus. Here's our data. We're willing to share it with you so that you can brace the impact of it. And he scoffed at it. We don't need it. We don't need your data. We don't need your help. They were notified months ago, back in what, November they said, or something like that?
Oh, wow, yeah. So,
and so a lot of lives could have been saved. But because of the arrogance, and not only that, I was watching the news, and one of the panelists, who was a doctor, said, "Well, one thing this virus has exposed is the unpreparedness of healthcare in America.
Yes.
You know, we can't even get enough ventilators to catch up with the people that are sick. You know, there's." Disarray in the hospitals. You know, they might be getting a grasp on it now, but in the beginning, I mean, come on, man, an ice truck pulls up to put bodies in there. That's not preparedness. You know, and people seeing this.
It wasn't preparedness.
And in some cases, there's no ice in the truck.
Right.
How about that?
Yeah. But that's also why they were asking people to stay home, because the main thing is because the health care industry, the you know, they cannot take the kind of you know, the onslaught of patients coming in like that. They can't all take it all at once. So that's why they were asking you to stay home so that they could, you know, just flatten this curve so there won't be as many people coming to the hospital. As it is right now, if you have non-elective surgery, that's been put off, you know, and not even to mention, besides the COVID-19, there are other people that are going to the hospital that have other life-threatening problems. You know, you don't even hear about that anymore. There are people coming up there with heart attacks, with, you know what I'm saying, gunshot wounds, whatever it is, you know. There's still other emergencies that still need to be dealt with. And that's why they're asking you to stay home for your fellow, you know, for your fellow man, like for your citizens. Like, what could be more patriotic than to, you know, take a backseat to your own little selfish needs that you can't, what? You can't do what, man? What, go to the park? You can't do what? Go to the grocery store? What's the problem? You can't go to the movies? Like, please stop it. You know, it's ridiculous. Right. It's unbelievable.
And they say history should be your best teacher, right? So we'll even entertain another one. We'll call it the law of recency, right? So you only need it because you said other nations extended their hand to say, hey, here's the information back in November, right? So now you're seeing the reemergence of the COVID-19 pandemic in Wuhan and in South Korea.
Yeah, yeah, you see that? Yeah, right. Yeah.
So
yeah.
The law of recency, the U.S. should look and say, hey, if we didn't learn the first time,
right.
We should learn this time because it's going to reemerge and we should be prepared for it. Instead, the argument is, hey, let's open up and welcome in that second wave that much faster. Like, I don't get it.
Yeah, and they were saying that South Korea actually had done a really good job that first phase, but they're having more flare-ups now. So use them as an example because they actually handled it a lot better than we did, but they're still having that second, you know, kind of wave. We didn't really handle it that great, you know.
No, we didn't.
It took a long time for them to say, hey, everybody, put a mask on, you know. So even going to the grocery store, you know, like the shortages of toilet paper, and in some cases, you couldn't find meat, you couldn't find bread. Like, this was, we were looking like a third world country, you know?
Yeah,
we really were. It's like, this is embarrassing. This is embarrassing, you know?
No, you put your head down and be like, this is bad. This is really bad.
Yeah, this is really bad. Everybody walking around with a mask, we look like something out of, I don't know what, you know? It really is embarrassing. I've never seen anything like this. And I have older, I mean, we all have older people in our family, and I have older clients too, and I'm like, you ever seen anything like this? They're like, no, I've never seen anything like this. And I never even thought our country would be going through something like this. I don't know, it's like we're supposed to be so smart, so rich, so this, so that, make America great. We look like a bunch of assholes right now. It really is embarrassing.
Yeah, and let me tell you, South Korea has been on it. And I've been to South Korea many times. Mm-hmm. And they have been on it. And they did the, I think it's the trace contacting, if I'm saying that's right. But they figured out exactly who the individual was and the number of people that he infected. Yeah. And so, again, we could just look over our shoulder and say, hey, let's take note from someone who is has their stuff together. And go from there.
And rely on the science. You know, like, you can't rely on your gut. This is such an anti-science administration. Like, you have to rely on the science.
Like,
you know?
Like Fauci said, I'm not here to say that I'm the definitive voice. I'm here to say, here are the scientific facts. And you make the
decision. Can't deny,
right. And you can look around and see, you know what, another country that handled it kind of well was Germany. But they're Germans. They believe in science. You know, it's like, of course they would have handled it well. You know, they also trust their government. You know, so it's just really, I don't even want to think about the future. It's like each day is like just, each day is
just. It's a battle. I go out, listen, yeah. I get in my car, I got Purell, Lysol, like I'm taking a bath. I'm like, oh my gosh. Like I'm like detoxing, you know, whenever I get in my car, I'm just like, and I've seen it on Facebook when they said, all the men now know what it's like to be a female when they take their bras off. So when I get in the car, like I'm taking my mask, I'm like, mask
The mask thing is like, I hate the mask. It's like, I'm glad to see you guys' face, because like, when the last time you seen somebody's face, you can't even smile at people, you know? They don't even know you smile. Right. You know, it's like, that's the weird part. It's so surreal to see like these masks. It's like, this is really, that part kind of messes me up psychologically, to not see people, you know? Like, it's just weird, you know? I don't like it.
I'll say this, and I don't know if this helped out South Korea or not, just to re-entertain that real quick, but I was actually stationed in 97, 98. I've been back since then, but back then they used to wear the surgical mask. And I remember saying, like, why do they have those masks on? And, you know, I think they were well prepared for this. That's something that we didn't do. And I remember like my first couple months, I was like, why is everybody, like, I used to say to myself, like, is there like a bug or flu or something going on? Like, should I be wearing a mask? Because once you go off base, you're in their population and they're talking to you, like giving you the food and you're like buying your stuff there and everyone's in a mask. I was like, yo, what is going on? But I get it. So they were way ahead of the game. I just wanted to make that note.
Yeah, shout out to Cuba. Cuba's handled COVID. Cuba's health system is awesome. It, for it to be third world, their health system is top notch, bar none. And I was just reading an article, and one of the reasons Cuba has handled it well is because when the government tells you to stay in, they listen. Exactly. You know, they ain't messing with, messing with their government.
Exactly. They're not messing with their government. So,
and they say they're disciplined. They're very disciplined when the government gives them instruction.
Right.
And so they've been handling it well. And they've actually been sending out doctors throughout South America to help with this COVID-19.
Yeah. Well, you see, US and Russia are getting their behinds tore up.
Say that again.
I said the U.S. Piece and the Russia piece, as far as the COVID-19, are getting lit up like the 4th of July. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And you know what, Wanda, you made a good point. It was the same thing that in the article that I had read about South Korea and Germany, is that when their government says something, they listen to them. It's not so much that they're, you know, the motivation may be a little bit different, but it's just for Germany, they trust their government. It's not so much like a police that they trust in their government. They trust that the government is for the people and that they, for the most part, are doing what's in the best interest of everyone. And
South Korea is probably the same kind of thing,
you know, but here, only in America, you know, you have these people. Well, first of all, we can't really press this administration because it lies all the time, okay? That's number one. And then the people that, you know, these people that are, you know, you're infringing on my rights, the lunatics, you know, you got this strain of people, which are not the majority of Americans, but there's always these people, you know?
Right.
So it's, but they also affect other people. Like you say, you going out to a protest, you going home to your wife and your kids, going home to your mom, you know, you're in contact with other people, you're not getting it, you know?
Right.
No, yeah, you're right. And I'm glad to see everybody. It's about that time for us to wrap it up, but good points from everybody and great discussions, you know. As always, you know, I love my castmates, as I always say. So as I close this out, who we gonna go with? Missy, any words?
No, I'm just glad to see you guys. I'm glad to see just people in general. I'm glad to see some faces.
Right. Wonder what we got.
Hey, listen, I just want to ask everybody to continue to pray for the Arbery family. They lost their son. Beautiful brother, Ahmaud Arbery. And we all know the story. And let's keep a watchful eye on how this plays out. It's alarming when you have something that took place months ago, and the only reason they're locked up is because people finally saw the video and made noise about it. And there's a lot of moving pieces to it. So I hope everybody keeps an eye, a watchful eye on it. I signed a petition. I'll be more than happy to pass it on to the state prosecutor's office to, you know, just add leverage, express your feelings about it, to, you know, make sure that there is a trial. It's a shame when you got to fight to, they got to figure out if there should even be a trial. And then you have to hope the trial is not a kangaroo court where they just get a smack on the hand and do a few years. So let's pray on this, and let's keep the family in prayer. You know, that young man's birthday was just a few days after he was killed, and then Mother's Day followed.
Mother's Day,
how terrible is that?
Yeah.
How terrible is that? So that's all I have. But good to see everybody. And stay safe.
Yes. Stay safe. Let's end it on a positive note.
yeah, stay safe.
What you got, Geronimo?
You know what, man? Y'all already said it. It's good to see y'all. And we'll be back in the studio soon, God willing. But shout out to all my people here in Jersey, home in Virginia. You know, keep the mask on, y'all. Keep them hands washed. Stay safe. Like I said, just because they open it doesn't mean we got to get out there.
That's right.
Right, right.
Just remember that. Like I said, midnight. Fast Arnie Lounge got the Midnight Edition, IG Live, ninth one to be there. And like I always say, when you walk outside your front door, showtime in the world is your state. Just make sure that people are not watching the rehearsal, all right? Stay tuned to BKS1 Radio, 9 p.m. It's going to be a fashion moment with Ty Chun. With that being said, it's the six-man thing, Geronimo.
Yeah.
Stay safe, y'all. We see y'all in 14 days. Black Ops, it's on you, bro.
Oh, wait. I want you to have the last word, Black Ops. Can I just say one thing I forgot? This Tuesday, coming up the 19th, 7 p.m., the Zoom link is on my page. We're facilitating an open forum for the brothers only for this phase, talking about mental health and stress, especially under this pandemic.
Yeah.
Sisters can join in, but in terms of the weigh-in and the discussion is for the brothers. Then the following Tuesday, we'll be talking about the young brother, Ahmaud Arbery, and talking about, you know, just letting, you know, young men and older men just kind of weigh in and express their thoughts. And I hope to have people from law enforcement, from backgrounds and people dealing with mental health who are professionals in that realm, so that possibly we can have some takeaways from this. It's not just, you know, we're not trying to get people riled up, but, you know, we just want to create an outlet in a space, a safe environment for our brothers to speak up and out. Okay.
May 19th?
The 19th, yes, sir, is the for 95th? The, right, and then the following Tuesday after that. Yes, sir.
Okay, that's the 95th birthday of El Hajj Malik El Shabazz.
Yes, sir. All right.
Well, it'll be a travesty for me to jump in. So when I think I'm going to let you get the last word, you had some energy in the closing there. So I'd be wrong. Everyone be safe. As always, I have to give a shout out though. I mean, it's his station and we have to make sure we promote, you know, what he does and what platform he brings to a people, the CEO Storm Norm. So big up to him and the super.
Hey. Salute the general.
Right. With that said, that's all I have this time. So, Black Ops out. Good night, everybody.
All right. Good night.
Peace.
Peace.